Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 79, Star Wars, The Clone Wars, Season 6, The Lost Missions. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the episode. It's a very special episode in that I am doing something that is very different compared to episodes as usual. So normally I'll do a season premiere or a season finale or a random episode or a random movie or anything like that. But for this particular episode, I thought I would do a season review of a TV show. As you heard from the title, I'm going to be covering season 6 of Star Wars: The Clone Wars. I recently signed up for Netflix, so I decided if I get to watch the entire season, I'll do it all at once. So the formatting here is a little bit different. I'll provide a brief introduction, and instead of a summary for an individual episode and all the insights for one episode, I'm basically going to have each episode number, name, and tagline, and do the summary of what I learned from it. And then I'll do a recap of what the positives and negatives, and then the real score for the episode. So all the same elements are there, but just in a slightly different manner. So with that, I'll jump right into it. So for Star Wars: The Clone Wars Season 6, the title of the season was The Lost Episodes. The official StarWars.com announcement, or basically tagline for the episode, in these eagerly anticipated episodes of Star Wars: The Clone Wars, some of the deepest mysteries of the conflict between the light and the dark sides of the Force are revealed. The episodes were released to Netflix on March 7th, 2014. I'll have a link to the Netflix website so you can check it out, as well as the Wikipedia article on this particular series. And yes, I'm doing the Wikipedia instead of Wikipedia because it is Star Wars, of course. So with that, I'll jump right into the episodal insights for this particular series and the stuff I liked and didn't like. So to start it off, in episode 1, it was titled The Unknown. It came with a tagline, "The truth about yourself is always hardest to accept." I summarized this particular episode as acting weird before battle is usually not a headache. So we start off the first third of the season. Season 6 was split into three different categories as to what's going on with the Clone Wars. The first of three topics in the series was about clone trooper Tup and his friend Fives trying to figure out what was wrong with his friend. And of course, I should have mentioned at the beginning of the episode, but there will be spoilers towards the end of it, but I'll get into that a little bit later. But Tup has a headache before, as they're going into battle, and a little bit before as well, and Fives doesn't think anything of it, but acting weird, I guess, in any type of high stress situation, I figure would be a cause of concern, and no one should go into, in this case, battle before doing it. So it's kind of one of those things where they should have gone to a medic right off the bat, and they would have saved themselves the trouble of him killing the Jedi in this particular episode. But on the flip side, it's basically a different route to do what they were going to do, but they may not have figured out the solution in any case. But I just thought it was weird that they wouldn't have gone to see a medic, and the medic said that there's nothing wrong with him, and that would have actually saved them the trouble of worrying at that point. They could have been more discreet in the later episodes, but I don't know, just not doing it that way seemed kind of unusual to me. So that brings us into episode 2, Conspiracy. The tagline in this case was, "The wise benefit from a second opinion." So I summarized this particular episode as, "Unauthorized missions don't always have a direct pain." Because in this case, we have Fives trying to figure out what's going on with his friend, and he basically enlists a robot or a droid to help him out to figure out what's going on. and it causes him a lot of pain. His friends are obviously in a lot of pain, but they need to go on these missions to figure out what's going on. And essentially, they're running. The episode seemed really unorganized and a lot of running around, but it was also building up to go to what happened in the next episode. And that is essentially what I thought about this episode. It was basically a filler episode, kind of, to set up what was going to go on to conclude this particular story arc. So, in episode number 3, Fugitive, it had the tagline, "When in doubt, go to the source." I summarize this as, "When in disguise, never leave character, even to show emotion." So, we learned over this episode and the last one that all clones have a chip implanted into their brains because Jango Fett, or the source of all the clones, didn't have this inhibitor chip to block their excessive emotion. In order to get access to this information, Fives had dressed up as a clone trooper and went full on uniform in order to walk around to be seemingly undetected, but he had pulled off his helmet. And basically that revealed himself while nobody in the computer room or computer lab, from what I could figure in this episode, really paid attention to this random trooper showing up and talking about what's going on. I would have figured to stay in disguise, since Kamino basically has a lot of white and the trooper uniform is white. It would have been easier for him to blend in and hide in uniform rather than removing it and showing off his skin, and making it easier for the troopers to find him in the room. But, once this information is revealed, we're basically taken into episode 4, titled Orders. It has a tagline, "The popular belief isn't always the correct one." I summarize this as, "Never close the blast doors," because as we saw in Star Wars episode 4, A New Hope, closing the blast doors always gets in the way, and in this case, Shakti, the Jedi on Kamino, or the Jedi Master on Kamino, closes the blast doors and essentially allows Fives to escape. If she had not had him do, and basically the doors close before she's able to get there, so if she had not had them close the blast doors to try and close off Fives' escape route, she would have been able to get in touch with him and figure out what's going on. It just made her job that much harder. And in the end, they still didn't figure out what the problem, or why Fives did what he did. But in the end, he got killed without any further information, even though the cover-up in these 4 episodes went all the way up to Chancellor Palpatine and Count Dooku. So then we go into a seemingly random set of episodes, which actually provide the backdrop as to how... it's basically a minor line in the original trilogy for Star Wars as to how the Emperor is getting all his funds, but these episodes actually provide that backdrop or backstory as to how the Empire, or to the Republic, and then eventually the Empire has all the funds that they have, basically. So episode 5 is titled An Old Friend. Well, it came with the tagline, "To love is to trust is to believe." I summarized it as, "A traitor to those creating espionage is my tentative friend." So basically, we have a returning character, Rush Clovis, who claims that he's working to good and he wants to expose the corruption in the banking clan. And he enlists the help of Padme Amidala, but everyone is basically, including Anakin Skywalker, is showing that, or believe under the belief that he's not to be trusted and there's something going on. And while Padme trusts him, we basically, in this episode, are led to believe that he is actually to be trusted and he is trying to cover something. And they learn that the banking clan is actually running out of funds because they continue to fund the separatists and they are not repaying their debts, and the Council of Five is corrupt in that they have let this go on. So we move into episode 6, The Rise of Clovis. It came with the tagline, "Jealousy is the path to chaos," which I summarized as, I don't always disrupt the banking hierarchy, but when I do, I become the de facto leader. So basically, as the continuation of the prior episode, Clovis becomes the leader of the banking clan. He claims that he's only going to do it temporarily to get everything back on track. And from there, he'll cede control back to the Moon people, or at least the government, so that they know that they're back on track and everything is legitimate. But he learns in this episode that Count Dooku has been manipulating him from behind the scenes, and that he wanted his own pawn in the government to ensure that the separatists continue to get funding, and they're going to charge the Republic higher interest rates to get money in order to basically have one hand feed the other. So at this point, the Jedi Council is trying to figure out and sort of suspect, and the Republic Senate is basically irritated that they think that Clovis actually is up to no good again. And basically they're all getting upset that they've been deceived, and they're not exactly sure what. So in episode 7, Crisis at the Heart, the tagline, "Deceit is a weapon of greed," we learn, or at least I summarize it as, treachery is a dish best served with the Force. Because at this point we learn that Dooku was essentially in a power play with Sidious to ensure that control of the banking clan, or at least the banks, get turned over to the Republic, which I understand, or basically assume, that that's the backbone of how the Empire is going to continue to get its funding. And they basically control the banks, so now they have unlimited funding for any endeavors that they wish to have. And Clovis is realized to have been manipulated. So while he wasn't legitimately being deceiving anybody, he didn't realize that he was actually being a pawn in this game to have this removed from, basically get anyone against Sidious removed from office so that they could have control. He ends up committing suicide because he couldn't handle the strain and stress and magnitude of his actions. And in the end, the banking clan, basically the Moons, lose control of the banks. So that's really all I figured for that. So that's, I'll get into the storylines a little bit later, but I figured that's sort, I mean, it was, while it wasn't really a storyline that I thought had a direct impact to the Clone Wars or to the series, that prequels, it does have a direct tie-in to the original trilogy. So with that, we jump into a couple of episodes where Mace Windu and Jar Jar Binks work together to improve their understanding of each other. So in episode 8, The Disappeared, it had the tagline, "Without darkness, there cannot be light." So I summarize it as, the Temple of Doom calls to all species. Because in this episode, we have a particular race. I'm not sure who, I forget who they were exactly, but the Queen of the People was in love with Jar Jar Binks and vice versa. So they were basically in their relationship. And Mace Windu is reluctant to have Jar Jar be any sort of representative to people who are disappearing, but learns that Jar Jar is actually mostly out of his character in places that he, where the people are, or where he can't get his message across. But in this particular situation, he is actually one of the people, he's very instrumental in figuring out the situation, and that the way he does things may seem unusual outside of this environment, but it works perfectly here. But the thing that actually bothered me about this episode was, it reminded me a lot of the Temple of Doom, because you have a particular faction trying to take over the powers to support a mysterious mother who we don't know who it is. I sort of figured it out as they kept repeating it, but we figured it out essentially in the follow-up episode, which was episode number 9, The Disappeared Part 2. It came with a tagline, "Wisdom is born in fools as well as wise men." I summarized it as, the living force is more tangible than elusive sorcery. So essentially the cult that was kidnapping the high force-sensitive council of this particular planet was using it to give the power over to Mother Talzin, who wanted to have this power so she could have a direct connection to the Force and become even more powerful than just a sorceress. She would essentially become something along the lines more of the Sith rather than the Jedi, but because she's a sorceress or a witch, she would have the power, double power over either group and control them all. But because Jar Jar and Mace Windu were able to get in the way and destroy the source of the power, she was essentially defeated. And essentially it was a plan that was disrupted by Jar Jar because he was able to figure out exactly what was going on. These two episodes sort of fix the impression that episode one gives me of Jar Jar, where he's clumsy and... No, I don't want to say unimpressive or as much hate as he gets in the Star Wars trilogy, but in these two particular episodes, it kind of shows that he, while in even among his own people, he is not someone to be respected, he does have a way of presenting information that's unusual, and it's different and he's usually outside of his element, there are situations where the way he does things will let him get into better situations. So it's just a matter of getting him to understand the nature of things, and he acts out of his heart. He's very passionate about those he cares about, so it's just a matter of thinking differently. So then we get into the final storyline for this particular, or for season 6, which is essentially, or one of two actually. So we get in episodes 10 and 11 were actually brought to the storyline of Sifo Dyas. In episode 10, The Lost One, we have the tagline, "What is lost is often found." I summarize it as, "We only go looking when the spaceship is found." They sort of tie in the idea that the Jedi stopped looking for Sifo Dyas because they didn't have any additional information or leads to go on. But in this episode, they have a random homing beacon that they were able to home in from. And they realize, or they find out, that it is actually the ship of Meister Sifo Dyas. It had crash-landed. And since it had been about at least 10 years on this random world that had a lot of sandstorms, the ship was decayed. But they did confirm that he was there, and they realized that he had been... And they need to go to speak to Chancellor Valorum, and they learn that before he was on his mission to Felucia, where he got killed, he was on another mission. And they were able to find that the Chancellor's aide was actually with him at the time of his death and was being held captive by one particular gang, the Pikes, to hold as a bargaining chip in case Count Dooku or Lord Tyrannus decided to come and bother them again. They did work with a Jedi, in this case Obi-Wan and Anakin. But before they could figure out who Lord Tyrannus was officially from the Chancellor's aide, Count Dooku shows up to tie up this loose end. And basically they realized that Count Dooku was using, and by association, the Sith Lord Sidious, were using the name of Sifo Dyas to build the Grand Army, and were merely continuing his work so that there would be the army to fight against the Separatists. But essentially, the trail runs cold from here, and they basically tie up the Sifo Dyas storyline by assuming that Count Dooku was the one who engineered the clone army and gave it to the Republic, but they still couldn't figure out why. So that was essentially a tie, the end of that situation, but they were able to close out that Count Dooku or Lord Tyrannus was behind the death of Sifo Dyas. So they were able to at least tie that off and have more information, at least more than what was presented in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. So from here, we are presented with the last basically closing off and tying up of loose ends for a topic in Star Wars, which is the story of how Master Yoda was able to talk to Qui-Gon Jinn. So in episode 11, Voices, it had the tagline, "Sometimes madness can be the pathway to truth." I summarize it as think differently because they're presenting that while Master Yoda has controlled his fear and anger and aggression, he still had the basis of greed and stubbornness to hold him back from understanding exactly what was going on. So it was a matter of him leaving his place on Coruscant and at least a Jedi temple to figure out exactly what was going on behind the scenes as far as why he was suddenly hearing the voice of Qui-Gon Jinn and how it was possible to hear this voice and prove that he's not going crazy. So in episode 12, Destiny, it came with a tagline, "Death is just the beginning. I summarize it as the Council of Mortis gives eternal life to the worthy. So basically Yoda travels to Dagobah, a familiar place, and he learns of the same tree that Luke Skywalker walked into in episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, to face his gravest fears, where he actually learns that of basically all the deaths of everyone in the Jedi Temple and what's going to happen, and that Sidious is actually above or behind all of these particular incidents. And he needs to come face to face with these fears in order to learn how to give himself eternal life after death. And all of these, basically they have the masks, you know, it's the same mask that you have in stage performances of, I don't know what they are officially, but happiness, sadness. Basically, those are the two main ones, but, you know, happiness, sadness, greed, anger. You have these five eternal spirits who teach Master Yoda that he needs to give up on his ways of thinking. He has to be truly selfless and truly greed-free in order to start on being able to be taught of eternal life after death and getting into the cosmic force from the living force. And we learn in this case that the cosmic force is fed by the living force. So it's a matter of giving up oneself in order to live forever. And this is the basis behind what was in the episode, I believe it was episode 3 at Revenge of the Sith book, where they note that the reason that the Sith cannot live forever is because they are selfish and they are greedy, and all the things that make them the Sith are the exact reasons why they're unable to live forever. They have to give all of that up in order to give themselves up to the cosmic force. So we then move into episode 13, Sacrifice. It had the tagline, "Facing all that you fear will free you from yourself." I summarize it as, power is in the eye of the beholder. So we actually have Yoda traveling to Moraban, which I believe is the renaming of Korriban, but he comes upon the tomb of Darth Bane as an illusion to test if he's actually able to determine what is real and what isn't. But Count Dooku and Lord Sidious are working to try and fool Yoda into thinking that he is unworthy, and to defeat him in a matter basically on Korriban, Moraban, that he's unworthy and not powerful enough to defeat anybody, or prove that he's not worthy of the information of eternal life. But because he's able to, in his dream, save Anakin and push Lord Sidious in battle away from himself and protect himself, he proves to the eternal spirits of happiness, sadness, and all those guys that he is worthy of learning the truth of eternal life from Qui-Gon Jinn. And this is where it comes into play that Yoda is going to teach Obi-Wan, or at least Qui-Gon is going to teach Obi-Wan, but how to prove that he's worthy in himself to transfer his eternal life into, or transfer his living force into the cosmic force. So to summarize, I give this season a real score of A because they've resolved a couple of backstories that there were themes that were brought through from the prequels and the original series, especially the source of Order 66. This is where one spoiler comes in. So Fives and Tup were actually, because Tup's inhibitor chip went crazy, this is actually the reason as to how Lord Sidious was able to execute Order 66 is because all clones had this chip placed in their brains that once the order is revealed or announced and sent to all the troopers, that they basically turn on their Jedis. They are turned into, it's not necessarily mindless clones, but they're given the released order that they're to kill the Jedi. So that's why Tup went crazy and killed the Jedi that they on the mission they were on. It, the only problem was that his inhibitor chip actually burnt out and was giving him that mission even before it happened. They were lucky that the troopers that Lord Sidious, or at least Chancellor Palpatine, had sent to retrieve Fives from, they were able to kill him before he was able to share this information with Anakin and Captain Rex. The other storyline that they cleared up, I don't think this one was a direct direct connection to clear up, but they cleared up how the bank, how Chancellor Palpatine and Lord Sidious were able to have so much money to fund the creation of the Death Star was because they transferred the moon's banks and banking funds into the Republic. So any payment that went in would basically go back into themselves. And since it was directly tied to the office of the Chancellor, it was essentially a department he would have under his direct control. And the final thing that they cleared up was how Yoda had learned to communicate with Qui-Gon and to transfer his living force into the cosmic force. While they did not cover it, I don't think they covered it enough in the episode 3 book or the movie, but at least they showed how Yoda was able to prove himself worthy and to provide more of a backstory as far as how he learned to communicate with Qui-Gon and to transfer himself into the cosmic force, and how he was, why he was going to tell Obi-Wan how to do it because they were the last Jedi. But as far as extrapolating how why he would tell Obi-Wan, it's because Obi-Wan proved himself to be strong-minded and have a strong will to the point where he was able to resist the dark side, even though the temptation was there within himself. And it closes off that loophole, sort of, in that how Yoda and Obi-Wan showed up. At least Obi-Wan showed up in Episode 5 because he obviously had died already. But how Yoda and Obi-Wan showed up at the end of Episode 6. I want to say that Anakin showing up at the end of Episode 6 was mostly because of the Mortis trilogy, and he did have that information. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to explain. I guess it's some research to do on Wikipedia as far as how Anakin knew to transfer himself, or maybe because it was built within himself that he has that ability, that if as long as he's in the center of the Force, he can transfer himself into the eternal, into the cosmic Force. But I didn't see that direct relationship, but at least this particular storyline shows at least some back training that's required as far as doing that transformation. The other positives I thought as far as this season goes were also in Episode 5, the one titled An Old Friend, where when Anakin, Padme, and Clovis are escaping from a bounty hunter on the planet, we have Anakin overlooking Padme on Scipio as she's in the jail cell. It reminded me a lot of when Darth Vader is overlooking Leia in Episode 4, and he's really angry. It reminisced or provided me that same kind of effect of the anger that Anakin has with at this time in the Clone Wars, his wife, and then later with his daughter, as far as their stubbornness and general way of what they need to do, like their general trust in the way they do things. And the other kind of relationship I got was when they were making their escape, the canyons on Scipio reminded me a lot of Beggar's Canyon, which I believe it was in the video game Rogue Squadron. I forget which other video games it was in, but if you played any of the Star Wars video games with Beggar's Canyon in it, it has that kind of similar effect for me. So it's a kind of a subtle throwback as far as those go. So overall, this season had a good progression of the rise of the dark side. So Lord Sidious basically hiding how he's going to execute Order 66 and his close call with the Jedi finding out about it, but basically controlling this in the end. And then also the origins of Yoda learning to be one with the Force. So he, in this, in Season 6, he kind of hinted at how he was very tired and he needed his rest. But it was something of such importance that he wanted to make sure he did it properly and not ruin his chances of being able to figure out what's going on with it. And then finally, the power of Dagobah and the Tree of Evil. So we actually get a good backstory of why Yoda went to Dagobah at the end of Episode 3. It's because the planet is so living with the Force that it would hide its presence. That we already knew. But because he's able to meditate and learn and get his training here, that's what I'm guessing is another reason why he did this, and also share with Obi-Wan as far as his training on Tatooine. And then also because we have the tree, I'm calling it the Tree of Evil, but I guess it's also the Tree of Fear or Tree of the Soul, I guess, where he can learn what he learned what he, or Yoda learned what he feared, and he would show this to Luke later on as far as learning about his fear for his friends and fear of Darth Vader. Even though I gave the season a grade of A, I still felt that the only negative, to be fair, I guess, was that the models still seemed kind of stiff when they were walking. So the only time they seemed fluid and neat was when they were in action sequences and more high-paced sequences where they were constantly moving. The only the walking scenes in where they were kind of moving slow were the only times where I felt that it kind of seemed janky to me, but for the most part the models and animation have improved. Season one it seemed less animated, more lifelike, but this was one thing I guess that still seemed kind of stiff to me. But overall it was a good or well done and well looking and well produced series. I liked a lot of the animation they did overall, just the one piece that I thought was missing, but I can generally overlook it as far as how the rest of the season was produced. But with that, I'm going to that's really all for this particular episode, so I'm going to jump into the credits for this week. So that is all for this particular episode. So while you're watching, let's say, Star Wars Season Clone Wars Season 6, or you're watching any video or music or anything like that, and you want the best possible audio, be sure to visit our friends at tweakedaudio.com. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors to match whatever style suits your need. So you can get one that's customized to how you want to look or how your phone looks. So you can even get one that's wooden, so to match your wooden-backed Moto X, so you have that kind of customization as well. They have microphone and non-microphone versions, so whichever one you want, you're not tied to one particular style that way. Their headphones are also noise-reducing and very durable, so as you're listening to whatever you're listening to, you'll hear very little of your surrounding environment, so you get the best possible bass and treble and all of that quality as well. And you also get free shipping when you place your order. So the price you see is approximately what you'll pay. I'm not going to quote you on taxes because that's outside the realm of what I'm sharing here. But whatever price you see is the price you'll pay. And of course, when you use the promo code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, you'll get an additional 1/3 off your order. So you can save some money there and show your support for the Geek.io network of shows. So be sure to visit tweakedaudio.com and use the promo code GEEK to get 1/3 off your order and a brand new set of headphones as well. We thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. But if you want to get in touch with me and you have your own insights of your own or questions or anything like that, you can reach me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com or find me on Twitter at patelN01. Or you can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574, where you can get all of my latest updates. Leave me a voicemail and get all my latest updates on Twitter and all of that. And if you want to find more shows on the Geek.io network of shows, be sure to visit geek-io.com. And the same website to get to our online contact form if you want to reach me that way as well. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.